good to see you again, and Happy New Year to you. Bible prophecy predicts that the lawlessness we see in our society will ultimately lead to the erosion of religious freedom. And that's what I want to talk to you about in this video. When you look at 2020, one of the things that is very clear is that there has been social unrest. Certainly, there have been a great number of peaceful protests that have taken place all year on a variety of things. But more often than not, these peaceful protests have turned violent. There have been burning of stores, there's been looting. And yet, the First Amendment, of course, gives us, in the United States of America, the right to peaceful assembly, the right to state our grievances. The prime example of what I'm talking about took place this past Wednesday, from when we're doing this video, on January 7, when a gathering in Washington, D.C. of thousands of people who were protesting, when that gathering turned violent, not by everybody by any means, but by a group of people who stormed the Capitol. 62 policemen were injured, 5 people were killed, and as these individuals entered into the congressional hall. Now, I don't know what side of political spectrum you're on, and that does not make a great deal of difference to me. But here's, I think, where all of us can unite, wherever we are on the political spectrum, and that is that violence of any kind is wrong. That violence that destroys property, that violence that takes human lives, that should be totally denounced as Christians. What does the Bible predict about lawlessness and violence in the last days of Earth's history? And as we look at the instability of society, as we look at the lawlessness of society, as we look at major cities in America that have increased gun violence and people's lives being lost every week because of wanton killings, as we look at protest movements that have, some of them that have turned violent this last year, what does this say to us? What does it say in the light of Bible prophecy? I'd like you to consider with me some of the aspects of Bible prophecy. We're going to look at Jesus' words in Matthew, the 24th chapter. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was sitting on a hillside in hillside outside of Jerusalem, overlooking the temple. And there Jesus said to his disciples, not one stone is going to be left upon the other. The disciples thought that an event as cataclysmic as the destruction of the temple must be the end of the world. Jesus, of course, was talking about the destruction of that temple in 70 AD. And he blended masterfully signs that would lead up to the destruction of the temple with signs that would lead up to the end of the age. In that sermon, after Jesus talked about the destruction of the temple, the disciples, thinking that he meant the end of the world, came to him and in Matthew 24, verse 3, said, "Tell us, when shall these things be? That is, when shall the temple at Jerusalem be destroyed? What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" So Jesus blends both events. He talks about the rising of false Christs and prophets. He talks about wars and rumors of wars. Now, note closely, no one sign constitutes a sign of the times. But when you see constantly these signs taking place in society, when you see false religion, when you see the rise of the occult and spiritualism, when you see the instability among nations, when you see famine and pestilence and earthquakes in various places, pestilences. I mean, this in 2020 has been a year, this past year, of pestilences, hasn't it? You look at COVID-19, it's affected the world. Did you ever think in your lifetime that you could have shutdowns and lockdowns in America and quarantines and that wearing masks would be a common thing and that thousands of people would die. And that even now, as I speak in January of 2021, we're in the middle of this pandemic. Certainly, we're living in a time of false religion, the occult, spiritualism. Certainly, we're living in a time of instability among nations. Certainly, we're living in a time of pestilences. And think about the natural disasters. But on the heel of all of this, Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Jesus says lawlessness would abound. Abound means leap forward. Abound has to do with getting out of control. So here Jesus predicts, in the context of false Christs and false prophets, in the context of the occult and spiritualism, in the context of wars and rumors of wars and instability among nations, in the context of natural disasters, of famines and pestilences, in that context, Jesus talks about rising crime and violence in our streets. He talks about instability in the streets. He talks about the time that society would be racked with crime and violence. Paul talks about this as well in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's my point. Prophecy predicts before the time of the end in an unstable society that is filled with crime, violence, and lawlessness. We find this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Scripture says, but know this. Here's something you can know. Not guess, but know this, 2 Timothy 3:1, that in the last days, what days? The last days, perilous times will come. What does the word perilous mean? Times filled with peril, dangerous times will come. And then it talks about men lovers of themselves, lovers of money, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. If you look back over 2020, and you see many of these riots, they become brutal with vandalization and with violence. It says they would be brutal and then having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So what we see taking place in our society today with this instability is something that Christ has predicted. It's one of the signs of the times. The Old Testament is very clear on this as well. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, talks about society. It says, by swearing and lying, dishonesty, killing and stealing and committing adultery. I mean, what a description of our society, killing, stealing, commit adultery. They break all restraint with bloodshed after bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn. So here, Hosea, prophetically speaking of his day and looking at our day, says that there'd be killing and stealing and adultery, immorality, breaking all restraint. Bloodshed after bloodshed, and the land will mourn. Hosea goes on to say, in Hosea 8, verse 7, they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. When you sow the wind of lawlessness in society, you reap the whirlwind of violence, crime, immorality, looting, and stealing. When you sow the wind of lawlessness, you reap the fruits of that in society. Throughout the Bible, God speaks of the necessity of obedience. And the way to peace is not the way of lawlessness, it's the way of obedience. Let's look at that in Scripture and see just how the Bible leads us back to obedience. And then let's look at how end time scenarios will shape up. As you look at Scripture, let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to look at some principles. Deuteronomy chapter 6, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and see some biblical principles. The principles outlined in God's law are the principles of happiness and peace for our own lives and principles that lead us to stability in society. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're looking there at verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you go down and rise up. You shall bind them up as a sign. So here God is saying that the principles of his law passed down from generation to generation bring peace, prosperity to our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 16. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 16. Why do we find the problems that we see in our society? Because men and women have turned their back on God. They've turned their back on the law of God. And when you do that, it leads to violence and crime in our society. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. And we'll look at verse 15 and 16. See, I've set before you life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so you do not hear and you worship other gods, then you shall surely perish. So the question is might be asked, well, was everybody in the protest movements, were they rebellious against God? Certainly not. Certainly not. That's not the point at all. There is a legitimate right to protest and express one's grievances. In fact, the First Amendment gives that. Let me share with you the principles of the First Amendment. The First Amendment to the Constitution prevents the government from making laws that regulate the establishment of religion. But notice what else it prevents, or that would prohibit the free exercise of religion or abridge freedom of speech. So in the United States, you have freedom of religion, you have freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the freedom of assembly. So in the United States, we have freedom of assembly and the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, the First Amendment was adapted at December 15, 1791, as one of the amendments to that would constitute the Bill of Rights. So you look at those things that the Constitution of America grants us, but the freedom of assembly, where citizens get together to express grievances, that freedom is here in the United States, but that is not the freedom to loot. It is not the freedom to burn buildings. It is not the freedom to physically harm others. And it's not the freedom to storm the Capitol building. So we have that First Amendment. But let me ask you this question. What if society turns its back on God's law in general? What if immorality and adultery become commonplace? What if crime and violence become commonplace? What if the pendulum swings from peaceful protests to lawless protests? Might that cause the majority of people in America to say, we need tougher legislation that restricts these freedoms? And since the freedom of the establishment of religion is tied into the First Amendment, could it be possible that the lawlessness in our society could lead to totalitarianism and the ultimate enforcement of what Revelation calls the mark of the beast? It's very fascinating when you look at how Paul in Thessalonians ties lawlessness to the rise of the Antichrist. If you look at Second Thessalonians, you will notice that there is the rise of lawlessness that is related to the Antichrist power. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering to him. So here, Paul puts this in the context of the coming of Christ. He says, I don't want you to be shaken in mind or troubled. That's to the church of Thessalonica. So the day of Christ has come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless there's a falling away first, and the man of sin or lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition. So the devil loves to incite lawlessness. He loves to incite violence. He loves to create instability. That's the devil's plan. And then it says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the devil works through lawlessness so that the Antichrist power can arise to bring together society under his guise of introducing world peace. That's the ultimate strategy of Satan. Now, let me be very clear. Satan's strategy is to create chaos in society. Satan's strategy, through natural disasters, through an economic collapse, through the inciting of violence and lawlessness, Satan's strategy is to create such chaos in society that the average person will say, we need to get back to God. And could it be that the enforcement of a common day of worship, namely the first day of the week, could be part of that coming back to God? Could it be that Satan, at a time of lawlessness, at a time when it appears society is falling apart, will work through signs and wonders and supernatural miracles to unite church and state, but God will have a people that will be obedient to him and keep his law? Could it be that one of Satan's strategies is to undermine all of the stability in society, to destroy that stability through lawlessness? Notice what it says in the book of Revelation. We begin our study here with Revelation, the 12th chapter. Revelation chapter 12. And we look at Revelation 12, verse 17. The dragon. Who's the dragon? That's Satan, right? Was enraged with the woman. Who's the woman? Well, according to Bible prophecy, the woman is the church. Jeremiah 6, verse 2 says, I've likened the daughter of Zion, the church, to a delicate, comely woman. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that Jesus is the husband, his church is his bride, or pictured as a beautiful woman. So the dragon, Satan, is angry with the woman, the church, goes to make war with the rest of her offspring to keep the commandments of God who have the testimony of Jesus. Satan hates those who are obedient to God. Satan hates those who keep the commandments of God. So what will he do? He creates lawlessness in society, which is in opposition to those who keep the commandments of God. And the reason he does that is to establish a counterfeit Sabbath that can be a vehicle of church unity rather than the true Sabbath of Scripture outlined there in the fourth commandment, where God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Look at Revelation chapter 13, for example. Revelation 13, the Bible points it this way. It says that Satan is granted to give power to the breath of the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. Now, the beast power in Revelation 13 represents the papal power as we look at Revelation 13. And if you have any questions about that, you can look at my presentation that you can find on the YouTube on the Mark of the Beast under Revelation's Ancient Discoveries. In that presentation, we look at Revelation 13 and we detail very clearly the identification of the beast power as the papacy. Then it says to give life to the image of the beast. What's the image of the beast? It is that which the beast power tries to enforce, his law, his counterfeit Sabbath. It should both speak and cause as many as would not worship it should be killed. How do nations speak? They speak through their laws. So Revelation 13 talks about a time when church and state would unite to enforce laws that were contrary to the law of God. Very simply, where are God's people in all this? Revelation 14, verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. So let me summarize for you. The lawlessness we see in our society today is instigated by Satan to create instability. That instability will increase in society. As this instability increases in society, the people themselves will demand of their government leaders laws that attempt to bring stability back to society. In that context, church and state will unite. A counterfeit Sabbath will be introduced as a vehicle to establish world peace. Now, don't let this surprise you, because this is exactly what happened in the Roman Empire. In the days of Constantine, when the Roman Empire was falling apart, barbarian tribes were coming down from the north. There was lawlessness and instability in the empire. In an attempt to unite the empire, Constantine passed in 321 AD the first Sunday law, and he said, on the venerable day of the sun, let the workshops be closed. Now, this was not a worship decree, but later, Council of Laodicea, for example, a few years later, the papal prelates of the church united with the state in an attempt to unite the empire and bring stability to the empire. Why did Constantine lead out with that Sunday law? To bring stability to the empire, to bring peace. He saw it fall apart. Why did the church unite with that? Because that would be a vehicle for converting the pagans. So we see historically in the fourth century, this union of church and state that took place there in those centuries to bring peace. So the devil's used that strategy in the past. Where will God's people be? God's people, saved by grace, charmed by love, redeemed by his power. God's people at this time will be faithful to him, loyal to him, and keep his commandments. Remember in Daniel chapter 3? King Nebuchadnezzar set up a counterfeit image. Daniel chapter 2, we've studied it together. You have an image of the great nations of the world, Babylon, Medo Persia, Greece, Rome. You know that image, don't you? If you don't, again, go to our material on the book of Daniel. You'll find it there. We have it here posted on the internet. But Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar sets up a counterfeit image. He demands all to bow down to worship that image. And as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down, church and state united. There was a universal death decree passed, and all were summoned to come. Just like in Revelation 13, the whole world followed the beast. But yet, although God's people went through a period of difficulty and trial, Jesus was there with them. Here's the incredible good news. As you and I are faithful to God and keep his commandments by his power and through his grace, Jesus will be there with us in the most difficult times. Jesus will be there to strengthen us. These events that are coming are a prelude for the coming of Jesus. They reveal to us in this generation that we're living on the knife edge of eternity. Soon our Lord would return. Soon, as Revelation 1 verse 7 says, every eye will see him. Soon, as scripture tells us, he comes in the clouds in glory and in power. I long for that day, don't you? The day that Jesus will come. The day that lawlessness will be an end. The day that peace will reign in society. The day that our Lord will be crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you like to say, Jesus, I want to be faithful to you in these last days of Earth's history? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your love, your grace, your goodness, your power. Thank you that although the devil stirs up lawlessness in so many ways, and we see a setting is taking place for your soon return, thank you that we can know that you'll be with us. Lord, we long to be faithful. You've said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Father, we love you and we want to be obedient. In Christ's name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.